Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
It has been such a great privilege to be in the beautiful state of Alaska. I've never been here before, and I've really only seen this road, and I'm leaving tonight at midnight, so I'm gonna have to come back because it's such a wonderful state, such a beautiful place, and you are beautiful people. Even those of you that I haven't spoken with, I've gotten just the warmest, kindest people that I've met throughout this church. And you know, it's something special when you go somewhere that's so different than the place that you call home. And I don't know, it always gets me. Every time I stand somewhere on a Sunday in a different church with different people and I worship the Lord, and I think about how God is doing something so powerful on the earth, that there are people all through the world, today specifically, scattered throughout the globe, that are lifting up the beautiful name of Jesus with their hands lifted up in every language, every tribe, every tongue, every age group, the young and the old, the male and the female. It is so wonderful. Because we serve a God that is alive. We serve a God that rules and reigns over all the earth. And God is doing something powerful in this final hour of time. I know that a lot of you are not women, so you were not at the women's conference. But I spoke about this for a few minutes the first evening, how Jesus is coming back very soon. I don't know how you feel in Alaska about everything that's gone on the past few years, but do you feel that something is going on and the world is changing and the world is moving in a direction exactly along with Bible prophecy, exactly what I've always heard preached since I was a little child, and I could never understand how those things could happen, how they could come to be, how would everybody just voluntarily take a mark in their hand or in their forehead, how would everyone give up all their paper currency, how could all of these things take place, and in just a short period of time, we saw how quickly everything can go. But I want to tell you something tonight before I get into my message, that the world does not run according to the devil's plans. Ultimately, God is the Lord over all, and what he says will come to pass in this world. And I want you to know something. God has a plan for you. I don't know why you're here tonight. There's something special about people that come to church on a Sunday night. Maybe this is your first time in church. I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but maybe somebody invited you and you don't even really know exactly why you're here. You're trying to wrap your mind around what's going on in this place. But I want to tell you something for every single person. God knows you. God has something very special in store for you. God is purifying his church. God is refining his church. And as he's refining his church, look what's happening. It's exploding. We got to buy new buildings. We got to build more. We're expanding. We're growing. Because as the world grows increasingly dark, the church is meant to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And you were created for such a time as this. Some of us, maybe through the past few years while everything was going on, we thought, why me? Why couldn't I have lived in the 50s? Why couldn't I have lived, you know, when things were a little bit better? No, God made you. God designed you for such a time as this. And not only is God purifying his church, not only is God refining his church, God is healing his church. God is healing his people. And you want me to tell you what his desire for you is? God's desire isn't just to give you a miracle. Although that's God's desire, and I believe people are going to receive miracles tonight. I believe people already did receive miracles today, and I believe people are going to receive miracles tonight. But you know what God's desire for you is? Is that you would become a person who can be giving miracles to other people. That you would be the one, not that needs prayed for, but you would be the one that would be able to pray. You wouldn't be the one that's in need, but you would be the one that would be able to meet another one's needs. That you would truly be raised up to be representations of Jesus Christ all over this beautiful state of Alaska. And I believe that you're going to take over this place. I believe that you're going to grow. I believe that you're going to spread. I believe that this building, this immense, gorgeous, brand new building is going to be stretched to its limits with people flocking in, being delivered from drugs and alcohol, people being delivered from suicidal thoughts, people that were hopeless, finding hope. You know, there's so many hopeless people. The only hope is in Jesus Christ. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what troubles you may face. But what I do know is that there is an answer. And the answer is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. You know, I'm so thankful for Pastor Karen inviting me. I really love her. I just met her, and I feel like I've known her for so long. I feel so comfortable with her. And for Pastor Daniel to trust me, even on this Sunday evening. And as they asked me to speak a few months ago, immediately I knew what I wanted to do tonight. And maybe it's going to be something that's a little bit different than what you normally do. But you're going to be a participator tonight, not just an observer. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not really anything to look at, and I'm not very good. So it's not about me. It's about the Word of God tonight. And I want to talk about something that is very, very near and dear to my heart. You know, the Bible says that God has provided everything that you need for life and godliness. Past tense. Everything that we need has already been provided for us by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We sang about it. We lifted our hands about it. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more tonight, because I want to share with you one of the most wonderful things that I could share. And that is the miracle meal, the meal of communion. And maybe you've never had communion before. Maybe it's something that's brand new to you. And maybe you've had it for decades. But I believe in the Lord tonight that He is going to illuminate the eyes of your understanding to see things in a new way, to look at things in a different way, and to recognize this great gift that we have been given and what it will do and what it offers to your life. So if you have your Bibles, I don't know if you have your Bibles, but if you have them, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to start with verse 23. You know, anything that you need from the Lord always requires an action of faith. There's always something that He asks you to do in order to receive. Faith is what God responds to. Faith is like our arm reaching up into heaven and pulling down what it is that we need from God. Because I want to say something. God does not respond to need, or else there wouldn't be any needs. God responds to faith. And so what we're going to do tonight, and in just a few moments as we get ready to take communion together, we are going to receive communion, this miracle meal, with faith in our hearts. And so I'm going to preach a little bit from the Word of God, because you always need to attach your faith with your understanding to receive the promised benefits that are found in the Word of God. A habit, a tradition will never do But instead, this supernatural meal that we're going to talk about tonight is going to produce for you from this day forward a supernatural life. You know, when you eat something, it becomes part of you. I'm not going to get it. You're feeling bad about what you had for lunch now. Sorry, that wasn't my intention. But we could even go into the science, which I won't do. But when you consume something, it actually becomes part of you. And so that's the thing I want you to really think of. Maybe the theme overlying everything else is that when we receive this miracle meal, it becomes part of us. We assimilate the life of Jesus in our body. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." What I'm going to share with you really changed my life. As a kid, I remember we would have communion on a specific Sunday. I think it was the first Sunday of every month or whatever. And the way that they would set it up. And I remember what would happen. They would play a really sad song. And people would all come to the front. And you know, even as a little kid, I understood to an extent what I was doing. I would come up with my mom and, you know, take a little mini cracker and a thing of juice, and I would cry because they would be singing a sad song and I would be thinking about Jesus. I still remember it. I have very vivid memories of it. I would be thinking about Jesus and how he died on the cross, and I felt bad. I felt so bad. You know, people would talk about Jesus on the cross. They would talk about how he bled and how he died, and everyone would cry. I remember it. And I'm not saying that it was a bad thing, but I really believe that there's so much more. Because Jesus isn't on a cross anymore. Jesus is not dead anymore. He's alive and he reigns forever and ever. He is seated on high. He's the highly exalted one. He is majestic in power. He is the one that has a name that's above every other name, that at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord of lords. We can't ignore the sad part. We remember what he did, but we remember why he did it. And we remember that he's alive. You know, the Bible says that Jesus he wasn't murdered. Jesus came to die. He left the splendor of heaven on purpose to come to the earth, to show the will of the Father, and to pay the price for your sin and for my sin, so that we could be made right with God and things could go back to the way that they were intended to be from the first place. You know the will of God by looking right in the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. You see the will of God. You look in the Garden of Eden before man fell, and you see the perfect will of God. There's no death. There's no sadness. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no poverty. Man had dominion. Man had rulership. They were to multiply and be fruitful and take charge over the earth. That was the way God intended it to be. And when Jesus came, the Bible tells us he's the second Adam. When Jesus came as that second Adam, he made it possible for us to once again get into the perfect plan of God. Hallelujah. When I read this passage of scripture, especially I've preached on communion a lot of times. But when I read this passage of scripture, preparing to come and preach this evening, there was something that really stood out to me. And it said, on the night he was betrayed. It just blows my mind. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew that he was going to be hung on a cross and that he was going to die and that God was going to have to turn away from him because he took on the sin of mankind, and so God had to turn away from Jesus so that he could turn to us. He said he felt forsaken so that you would never have to be forsaken. On the night he was betrayed, what love, what kindness. He understood exactly what he was doing. It's profound to me. And I'm going to share with you very briefly tonight. And if you have a notebook, and maybe you're going to want to write a few things down so you can go back and read these things a little bit more in depth, because I'm just going to brush over these things. But I'm going to share with you 8 powerful truths about this miracle meal. And then we're going to receive. And we're going to receive a miracle tonight. And we're going to live a supernatural life. You know, God has made it available to you to live a supernatural life. And we get to make the decision. Are we going to press into the word? Are we going to deny ourselves? Are we going to walk forward? Are we going to let the cares and concerns of this life crowd out the will of God and the plan of God for us? Number one, this meal is not religious tradition. This meal that we're going to be taking tonight is not religious tradition. It's not something we do just because we're supposed to. And I don't know if you realize this yet, but there is nothing that God has ever asked of us that didn't have a purpose and a benefit. Everything, even if you don't understand it, even if it seems hard, even if it seems like it's not working out right away, everything that God has ever asked us to do has a purpose and a benefit. This meal tonight is a covenant sign. It is a covenant sign. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. And if one of them breaks their agreement, then the covenant is null and void. But God makes certain covenants that are unbreakable. And, you know, an unbreakable covenant is the rainbow. And so think about it for a second. If that's a covenant sign, it's like every time a rainbow shows up in the sky, we see it. And God sees it. And so it reminds God of his promise, and it reminds us of his promise. That's why the the LGBTQIA+, and I think they're still adding numbers and letters and stuff. That's why they've adopted that symbol, because they're basically waving it around and saying, ha ha, God, you told us you wouldn't destroy us. You said you wouldn't destroy us. But like Pastor said this morning, God will destroy the earth again, but it's not going to be by a flood, it's going to be by fire. And their judgment of God is real. But we are not yet in the age of God's judgment. We are in the age of God's favor. I want to tell you tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you're living in sin, maybe you've compromised, maybe you're sleeping with someone that you're not married to, maybe you're getting drunk on the weekends, maybe you're not, you know that you're not living according to the will of God. Tonight is your night to make things right. God is not angry at you. God has made a way for you. Jesus already died for you. All you have to do is receive, accept, repent, and He'll empower you to be the person that He's called you to be. When we receive this meal together, we remember, and He remembers, because this meal is an act of remembrance. There's a significance to that word. It means to go back to the same moment in time. It's almost like for a second, when we get the bread and we get the wine, we go back to the foot of the cross. We're standing at the cross of Calvary. You know, the sacrifice of Jesus didn't diminish in time, with time. It's still powerful today, just as powerful as it was back then. It's going to be powerful tomorrow if Jesus doesn't come back. What He did was a complete work. It covered everybody. It covered everything. It didn't cover, you know, there's this thing going around where people say, the sacrifice of Jesus covered my past, present, and future sins. Well, if you're planning to sin in the future, there's a problem. If you do, you confess it, and He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He takes you, you know, and you wash your feet off, and He sets you back on solid ground. But we don't make plans to sin. We make plans not to sin. We make plans to be better and better and grow stronger and crucify our flesh and become more and more like Jesus every single day. Let there be less of me and more of Him. We remember. Receiving communion reminds us that we've been forgiven. It reminds us that God loves us. It reminds us that Satan has been defeated. It reminds us of all that belongs to us now as children of God, that we are now members of God's royal family. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Far above, come on, say it with me. Far above, come on, one more time. All powers and authorities, I love that picture. We are joined with Christ. We are seated with Christ. You might feel like you're here and He's up there, but no, it's not true. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Let me tell you something that's going to help you in your Christian walk. Don't think about God as way up there in the heaven and you're way down here. Like, does He see me? Does He hear me? Does He? No. He lives in me by His precious Holy Spirit. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He never forgets about me. Hallelujah. It's a finished work. Jesus said it It is finished. 1 Peter 2:24 says, such a beautiful verse. It says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Can you say were? Were is past tense. It means the work has already been done. Jesus had his back split open, a crown of thorns pressed into his head. He dripped with blood. He took it so I don't have to take it again. You don't have to feel that pain again. You know, God is asking for living sacrifices. Living sacrifices that stay on the altar. They don't get up and walk away when things get tough. They stay on the altar. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. He died your death. He died my death so I can live his life. Hallelujah. He paid the price. We can't pay again for things that have already been paid in full. You know, there's two types of ineffective prayer. Well, actually, maybe there's more than that, but I'm gonna just cover these two really quick. It's when you ask God to do something that he asked you to do, and when you ask God to do something that he's already done. You know, a lot of Christians spend a lot of time begging and pleading with God to do something that he already did a long time ago when the work was finished. That's why now he says, now it's our turn. Lay hands on the sick. See them recover. We don't have to beg God, God, heal me. Thank you, God, for healing me. And now by faith, I receive it in my body. When this became really real to me, because you know, you can hear things a bunch of times. You can study them in Bible college and take tests on them and write papers on them. But sometimes when you experience it, it blows all that other stuff out of the water. You know, there was a time in my life, I don't know, this was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I had really bad pain in my stomach. And you know, you don't think it's a big deal. Ah, maybe I ate something wrong, but it was really increasing with pain. And as the days went on, I thought, you know, now I feel like I can't put up with this much longer. And it was the end of December, so it was like right around Christmas had just finished. And our church, we do a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. Do you? You do it too. Yeah, that's wonderful. Churches all over the world joining together. And we've seen so many miracles through our time of fasting and prayer. And, you know, as you do it too, we're standing in one of your miracles, I'm sure. And I'm at home, I'm standing in my miracle. And we've seen God do so many great things. So get excited. Don't be excited for January. I know you're excited for summer, but I actually get excited now to fast because God has done such wonderful things. But back to my story really, really quick. I was in a lot of pain and I was thinking, you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to fast now because I'm already in so much pain in my stomach. I feel, you know, it's already a little bit uncomfortable to fast in your stomach. So I'm, you know, I'm having these thoughts in my mind and I feel the Lord tell me, eat a meal every day. One meal. And this was the meal. And so I said, all right, Lord, I'm gonna fast and I'm gonna eat one meal a day. And so I got out my little cracker with my juice. And every day I ate that meal. And every day I said, Lord, I thank you that as I receive this meal, that the life of Jesus comes into my body and burns out everything that's not supposed to be there. I'm the type of person, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't know what it is, because then it makes it harder for me to believe for healing. I just don't even want to know. So, you know, And so every day I did that, and I didn't feel any change. Things seemed about the same. And around the second week, I went through a day and I realized I don't have any more pain. All my pain was gone. And the Lord taught me through this experience that I have that there is something so much more powerful than we even realize. Because, you know, faith is believing something before you see it. Faith is believing something before you feel it. Faith is rejoicing for something before you hold it in your hand. If you wait till you hold it in your hand to thank God for it, you'll never hold it in your hand. It is the principle of Christianity. I'm telling you, get a hold. I know you have great pastors here. Dig in to the message of faith. It will change every part of your life. It will change who you are. Jesus' body was broken so ours could be whole. Read with me from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. You know, when the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, he took even mental anguish so that you don't have to have mental anguish. He gives us supernatural peace from heaven. This is not just a physical thing. It affects your body. It affects your soul. It affects your emotions. It affects the way you think. This meal is a proclamation. We remember and we proclaim. We remember and it is an announcement. As we take this, you know what we're doing? We're announcing something. Jesus is coming back. He's my Savior. He died for me. He saved me. We're basically identifying ourselves as belonging to the Lord. He did this for me. He died on the cross for me. It's mine. I take it. I receive it. You know, God designed this meal from the very beginning. Pastor Daniel touched on it this morning, and it's interesting that when Abraham went to meet Melchizedek, which was an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ, that he brought Abraham bread and wine. This was way in the beginning. God already knew. What a great designer. I mean, the Bible is such a treasure. And the deeper you dig, the more treasure you find. It is just so rich and beautiful. I mean, I told you before, I've preached on this message many, many times throughout the years. And I keep adding more little things that I find and more details that I read in the Word of God that I didn't see before. It is just so wonderful. And it brings life. Then you even see in 2 Kings, there's this story. You can read it in your own time in 2 Kings chapter 4. There was a great famine that was taking place. And so the prophet Elisha was making stew, and people brought him gourds to put in the stew, and they were all hungry. So he ripped them up and he put them in the stew, and they started to eat it, and they realized, uh-oh, they're poison. And so what Elisha said is he said, you can read it in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 41. He says, bring me some flour. And he threw it into the pot and said, now it's all right. Go ahead and eat. And it did not harm them. That was a miracle because flour doesn't really do anything to poison. That was a miracle. And so God was actually painting a picture here. Jesus is the bread of life. The flower represented something. And so as we receive communion tonight, it will absorb every poison in your body. It will absorb every unclean thing, and it will pass from your system tonight in Jesus' name. I don't care if you've been believing God for 20 years. I don't care if it's only 1 week that you're believing God, but tonight things are going to turn around for you. Gluten intolerance, allergies, blood disorders, cancer, anything in the blood, anything in the body that's not designed to be there, it's going to be absorbed tonight supernaturally as you take the bread of life, the bread of heaven, and you attach your faith to it. Amen. The bread represents the flesh of Jesus. The Bible says it's the New Testament manna. John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus said, he said, "Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they all died. But anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh." You know, manna was a miraculous provision from heaven. So when we say that the New Testament manna is represented by the flesh of Jesus, this is a miraculous provision. What did the manna do? It gave them strength for their journey. It gave them the sustenance that they needed. It was the provision that they needed because they were going towards where God called them. Tonight, maybe you're perfectly healthy in your physical body. This is going to infuse you with strength from heaven. Every weakness. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. We have a choice whether we can age naturally or whether we can age supernaturally. We have a choice. I talked about Caleb yesterday, that he said at 85 years old, "I'm as strong now as I was 45 years ago. Let's go take the land." And he did it. We get to make a choice. I've made the choice. I'm not giving in to the things. You know, I never felt certain things when I was 30, and now that I'm almost 40, I started. No, I'm not doing it. My eyes are going to stay strong. My ears are going to hear. I'm going to walk. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be able to run. I'm going to be able to lift heavy things. It might not seem like a big deal to some of you young people, but it's better you make a decision now. God wants to use you. He wants to use you to do great things. That as you attach yourself to his plans and purposes, he's going to keep you strong. He's going to keep you healthy in Jesus' name. He's going to give you strength for your journey as you receive this miracle meal tonight. The juice, number 6, represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. The spotless, perfect Lamb of God that was offered for us. You know, the blood represents a divine exemption. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Read with me from Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 says, "Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, Go pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin and take the bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go through the door until morning, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of your door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law for you and your descendants to observe forever. I remember many, many years ago, I read that and I thought, oh no, all this time I have not been observing this. But I was wrong, because you know that the miracle meal that we're going to receive tonight is our Passover meal. This is our lamb. This is the blood of the lamb. Look how easy God made it for us. It is an exemption from all the plans of the enemy. You know, the enemy has an agenda. I believe as you receive this meal in faith, every wicked agenda for early death, for harm, for you and your family that the devil might have had in the past is canceled in Jesus' name. You know, as the Israelites took this meal, I mean, we could just talk about this for the rest of the week and it would keep us busy, but just to talk about it for 2 seconds, as the Israelites received this meal, none of the plagues of Egypt could follow them. None of the plagues of Egypt could follow them. Instead of painting the blood over your door, receive the meal by faith. You know, my husband and I built a house a couple of years ago. We bought a red door because this was so alive to me. And I love it that every time I go home, I see that red door and I think about it. And I think about how the blood of Jesus covers my home, that no evil will ever come near my dwelling, that no plague will ever enter inside, that no plan of the enemy will ever prosper in my life, in my husband's life, in my children, that there is a divine exemption that is in my life because I belong to Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, the blood of the Lamb has been poured over your life, that none of the agendas of the evil one will ever prosper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus established a new covenant. The blood of Jesus established a new covenant. Remember, we talked about a covenant before. This contractual agreement. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before. More in that chapter, it talks about every time they gave a sacrifice, really all it was a reminder to them of what they did wrong, because it never took away their guilt. It never took away their shame. You know, there's some of you in here tonight that you're listening to me preach this message, but you're weighed down with guilt. You're weighed down with shame. I want you to be free tonight. As I call you forward in just a few moments, you can be free of guilt. No need to feel shame. If you come to Jesus, he forgives you. Your sin is as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Verse 12, but our high priest, can somebody say Jesus? Say it again. our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for our sin, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. You know, such a great verse. If you are in Christ Jesus, he sees you as perfect. Quit talking about yourself in the flesh. Quit defining yourself by your past. Quit defining yourself by your weaknesses and your failures. Start speaking about yourself the way God speaks about you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're being made holy, but God sees you as perfect if you're in Christ Jesus. You know, the blood redeemed us. The blood washed our sin. The blood secured a place for us in heaven. The blood made us children of God. And if children, then heirs. I don't know if anybody in here has ever been an heir. But when your father is the one that owns all the silver and all the gold and all the power and all the might and all the majesty and all the glory of heaven, you are a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus is my older brother. Jesus is your older brother. And our Father lives in heaven. Hallelujah. And everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm so wonderful, but because God loved us that much. The meal is heaven's prescription. This meal is heaven's prescription. I'm self-editing. You know, when you get a prescription, I'll talk about antibiotics. You know, they tell you, I think you have to take them for 7 days, right? And you have to take all of them. What happens when you take the first one, the first pill, the first day? Nothing happens, nothing changes, but you keep taking them. Because the doctor told you to, right? Because you believe that the prescription's gonna work. So you keep taking it. If you get a, say you have a rash and they prescribe you with a cream, you might rub it on the rash the first day, nothing happens, you don't care. You don't stomp back into the doctor's office and say, hey, I put that cream on and it didn't work, nothing happened. But some of you will march into the pastor's office like that. Did I say that out loud or did I just think it? I'm jet lagged. No, you keep applying it. You keep applying it. You keep taking it because you believe it's gonna work, because you believe in the ingredients. But I want to tell you tonight, there is nothing more powerful than the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. This meal that we're getting ready to take in just a few seconds is heaven's prescription. When you receive this prescription by faith, something supernatural takes place. When you eat this in obedience to the Lord, something powerful happens. I'm going to call the ushers to come forward and get ready to hand out this miracle meal. I would love to have you all around a table and we could have dinner together, but this is really the best meal. This is really the best way that we can fellowship and share in the plan of God, that he has made this available for us because he knew that we would need strength in our journey. He knew that we would need the strength of heaven from time to time as we live in this world that we are called to live in, but we are not of it. My last point is that this meal is available for everyone. This meal is available for everyone. That scripture that I began reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you continue, it says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." That is why you should examine yourself before eating and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for anybody that's here tonight that hasn't made their life right with Jesus Christ, that you want to know him. He wants to know you. And then we're going to worship the Lord as the communion is dispersed. But I would like to ask everybody to stand with me for just a moment. And if that's you, and you know that if you had to stand before God right now, that your life is not right, if you've never repented of sin and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you once did, but you fell back into some form of sin and you need to make things right, I want you to quickly raise your hand all over this room. Whoever's here and that follows you, I want you to come and join me at this altar and I want to pray with you. Come. Come, why don't we give them a hand for their... Come, we're gonna pray this amazing prayer because this meal, there was never a time where you were instructed not to eat. You were instructed to examine yourself and eat. I'm so happy to see you tonight. You're an answer to my prayers. God knows you. God loves you. He knew you'd be here tonight. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. And before we do, one last opportunity for anyone else. Pray this prayer with me out of your mouth. The Bible says that you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you. I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I thank you for your love. Today, I recognize Jesus died for me. I receive today Jesus as my Lord, my Master, my Savior. I will live for him and I won't turn back in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Come on, church, let's pray for them. Father, I thank you for these precious souls this evening that have been recreated brand new in Jesus. They've been made brand new, that the old is passed away and that everything becomes new. I thank you, God, that they may look the same on the outside, but on the inside, they are made new. Keep them in the palm of your hand. Speak to them. Overwhelm them with your presence. In Jesus' name, send people into their life to help them and encourage them. I curse every plan of the enemy for their destruction. I thank you that today's a new day. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.